Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're hoping to be joined by Corey Curtis here in just a few minutes. What a weekend it was in the world of sports. We had the Scottie Scheffler stuff on Friday, kind of breaking down live as we were on the air. He talked about Friday afternoon, stretching that morning from a jail sale. Shot a 66 on Friday, 73 on Saturday, 65 yesterday. So Scheffler ended up finishing tied for eighth in the PGA Championship. Xander Schauffele winning his first career major title at Valhalla. But what a story that was. Talk about just a wild story on Friday. Scheffler going to the golf club, arrested, goes to jail, and then eventually ends up finishing eighth in the tournament.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's it's the best immediate post-incarceration sporting performance I can recall.
I can't do. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, do you recall in your life seeing anything like the Scottie Scheffler situation that we saw over the weekend?
I saw OJ in a white Bronco.
Well, there is that.
I mean, we've seen some weird stuff before.
That is true.
I mean,
trying to watch the NBA finals, man. Just trying to watch the finals.
Yeah, I didn't see Tiger Woods, you know, with his wife and the 7-iron, but you know, that was wild stuff. And then, you know, I'm sure, you know, in the days before the internet and everything, there's a lot of stuff that we never heard about.
Oh yeah. I'm sure.
I mean, I'm sure Babe Ruth did some stuff.
Probably so. I saw a picture of Babe Ruth yesterday, by the way, that was like colorized at him at age 52 or whatever. He looked like he was 75. Like, he lived a hard life, that Babe Ruth.
You know, I think about what my grandfather looked like at my age now. That's two different worlds.
Yeah. It's crazy that you brought that up, because I was hanging out with some people this weekend. We were having that exact conversation. Like, someone brought up, like, Archie Bunker in the 70s. Like, he was, like, 47. Yeah. And it was like, no, what? He's, like, 80. What are we talking about here?
Well, you know, Wilford Brimley.
They didn't have Botox back then.
Wilford Brimley in Cocoon was like 54.
Yeah, my age.
And I'm 53.
I would have busted his ass on the hoop court, man. Let me tell you something.
I mean, he was eating Quaker Oats. Now, I just started eating oatmeal, so I guess I don't have room to stand.
But can you break dance like him, though?
I can't do anything except put one foot in front of the other.
Nice. Very nicely done. So, Corey, Matt Duchene scores the game winner for the Dallas Stars the other night and sends the Stars to the conference final. That has reignited a debate on Predators Twitter of whether or not letting him go was the right move. Where do you come down on the Matt Duchene front?
You know what? They had Matt Duchene. You know, Matt Duchene can score goals. He's not a terrible person. You know, and what do we say? They need more secondary scoring. So could they use, you know, the secondary scoring of a Matt Duchene? Yes. But he was also not a guy that they felt like they could count on every night. And that's what this was about. It wasn't, is he skilled? Can he score goals? It's, can we count on him night in and night out? And that's the decision that you have to make. And you also, you know, look, if Dallas was eating the salary that Nashville was for him, I don't know that they would have signed him, right? So, I mean, they get him at a discount, and, you know, they can take that chance, and Nashville was done taking that chance. You moved on. You're recreating your team. And, you know, did you think that everybody you move on from was never going to score a goal again? I mean, that's kind of silly.
So I'm gonna stick with the Preds, Corey, because we do this fan survey. Okay, I just wanna I'm gonna see if you can guess this.
Oh boy,
This was the question for Preds fans: how would you like to see the Preds address their goaltending future? Trade UC Saros, make way for Askarov, sign Saros long term, let Askarov develop behind him, see where it goes, or sign Saros to a long-term deal and trade Askarov. What do you think? Just give me your guess. What do you think was the most popular of those responses, and what percentage of people would you say picked those? Pick that.
I'm gonna say 53% said to trade Saros and go to Askarov.
Dang, you are good. 57.3%.
Wow, look at Corey Curtis.
Man,
how about that?
60. I could have done better.
That is.
It all come down.
That is that's very impressive. So I mean, I know that
I am a genius,
and this is obviously. I mean, I don't know.
It's science.
Well, it is science, but also it's like it's like the, I think it's going to be the most.
Your brain's one-third the size of mine.
This is going to be the most over-discussed thing, but that right? Like by the time there's a resolution in this, how sick of this are we going to be?
Oh yeah.
I don't think that sick of it because it's like if it was the Titans, it would be a nauseating conversation. I don't think. The Preds quite gets that much. I mean, you guys do it more on a daily basis than I do. So maybe it will. But, you know, the other thing is get used to it because Barry said it's not getting done until July. You know, but he was talking about a contract extension. And, you know, some of that could be posturing of, hey, I don't want to deal him. So if you want him, you're going to have to pay for him. I think you should have to pay for him no matter what. I mean, because I don't think you give him away. But I think if you can get something that helps the future of your hockey team, you have to do that. It's not often you have assets that can bring you something in return. If he is an asset that can definitely bring you something in return, you know, but you have to have a dance partner. There's no question about it. So yeah, we're going to talk about it till it happens. It's not going to happen in May. Maybe the end of June as July gets here. So it will be nothing more than talk until then.
Corey, we were talking earlier in the show about Titans that are make it or break it this year, and Chig's name came up. But first off, what do you make of Chig, the opportunity in front of him in this offense, given all the weapons that have been added around him this year? Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about Chig and Wiley as your tight end duo heading into this year?
Well, look, I fought with Jared about this a while back, that I just don't feel like Callahan's offense uses the tight end that much to where we should be that concerned about it. And he brought up Hayden Hurst and what a huge year he had with Cincinnati. Well, he had fewer catches than Chig had last year in his huge year. Okay.
Right.
So I don't know how much they're going to use that position. And I think that's one of the reasons that they have not really addressed it. Is because I think they deploy, you know, we're not going to see two tight ends on the field, three tight ends on the field like we've seen for the last 9 years. Okay? We're going to see one, maybe two. And so that position is going to be deployed differently. I would be surprised if they carried more than three. Okay? So it's going to be different. Look, Chig clearly has athletic ability and talent. He started off slowly last year, wasn't ready for the position that they put him in. I don't know if it was mentally or physically, but, you know, it was a struggle to start with. But I thought he finished the year, you know, pretty well for them. And so, you know, that was good. Would I like a more proven guy? Sure. You know, do I feel great about the blocking of both those guys? No. But we'll see where they go. We'll see how they move forward. And they did bring in Vanette, a veteran. Who I think, you know, is a bigger, burlier guy. And then there's Thomas Odokoya. Is this the year he finally breaks through and gets to be, you know, that third tight end who can be your third tackle, in a sense, you know, out there at the same time? So I'm not panicking. If this were still Mike Vrabel's team, I would say, God, they got to go get somebody, and they got to get somebody who's proven. Because they don't have enough there. But it's not Mike Vrabel's team. It's Brian Callahan's team. And so I'm not that worried about it.
That's an interesting debate because I hear what you're saying. I definitely agree on fewer, you know, two and three tight end formations. But also it's just – I just think it's hard to know when you have a receiving core like he had there, right? It's like – and also Uzama did have that one good year. It wasn't great. The numbers weren't eye-popping, but – I thought he made big plays, important plays for them during that year. So it's like if they – and it's funny because this year, I guess, And I guess to your point, because they also have a very good receiving core now on paper,
yeah.
Maybe it's not going to matter. But I still feel like that position always matters, doesn't it?
Well, it matters, but it doesn't matter to the point where you've got to panic about it. I mean, you know Chig can play. You know you can deploy him. You know you can put him out there. We don't know if Wiley can stay healthy. You know, we have to see that with him. You know, he's a big guy. He can catch the football, but, you know, we haven't seen that much. And the other thing that we have to see is how does this coaching staff do with these guys? I mean, you know, as I recall, you know, Todd Downing got banged on pretty hard. And then, as I recall, Kelly got banged on pretty hard last year, and we've been banging pretty hard on the offensive line coaching for the last few years. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what kind of steps forward, if they can take step forwards, these guys can make with the new staff. You know, so yes, could they bring in another veteran at that spot? Absolutely. Who's out there that makes you go, oh yeah, he makes this team better right now? I don't know. I haven't looked at the free agent market, you know, right now. But, you know, even going back to Janu, I don't believe, and we all like Janu. Janu was used really well here with Arthur Smith. I don't think he ever had a season with more numbers than Chig had last year. I think the expectations for Chig were very high. And, I mean, we all expected Chig to beat Delaney, right? And, you know, he hasn't been because Delaney was awesome. And so I think that that's part of it. I mean, but I believe he caught over 50 balls last year.
He did.
And if he can, yeah. And I wouldn't, in this offense, I would be surprised to see him get to 60 this year, even if he has a great year.
Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for lending us your brain for 15 minutes here on the program this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
It's a heavy lift. It's a heavy lift. I can't believe you guys managed to pull through. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. We appreciate you being with us.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Corey.
Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say. We'll get back into the Matt Duchene discussion that continues to be a raging debate on Predators Twitter and on our text line. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Purchase your tickets now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway Friday, September the 13th through Sunday, September 15th at MusicCityGP.com. As the racing station, 102.5 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. Use promo code GAME for a 20% discount now through June the 16th. Also, tune in for the Indy 500 race on 93.3 Classic Hits on Sunday, May 16th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Dallas Stars have punched their ticket to the Western Conference Final. They will take on the winner of Vancouver and Edmonton. Game 7 of that series is tonight. Double overtime on Friday night for the Stars, and Matt Duchene, former Nashville Predator, gets the game winner, sends his team to the conference final. And, Joe, in the aftermath of that goal, the Matt Duchene debate has resurfaced on Predator Twitter. So Matt Duchene bought out by Barry Trotz and the Predators last offseason. He goes to Dallas. I said it at the time. I thought that was the perfect fit for him. He ends up with 65 points, 20 goals, 40 assists in the regular season, and now with a huge goal, the biggest of his career, to send his team to the Western Conference Final, which has some Predators fans saying, why in the world did you let him go? What did you buy him out for? Why did you do that? Why are the Predators paying for Matt Duchene to go play for the Stars and help them get to the Conference Final? Where do you come down on the Matt Duchene debate as we sit here today with the Predators out and Matt Duchene playing in the conference final with Dallas?
Well, I said earlier, if you were mad from the start with this, then, hey, you didn't like it, and there's a case to be made to not do it. There's a lot of money you're paying him to go do great things for another team this year. So as Preds fans watch him advance to the playoffs, I understand people being like, oh, my God, that guy could help. But you also have to understand the situation. Barry Trotz, that quote he gave, clearly about Matt Duchene.
They don't come here to retire, come here to win.
We don't want we don't want players who come to Nashville to retire.
Right.
I think that's a paraphrase, but that's pretty much word for word what he said.
Clearly about Duchene, I think.
So like, I think that kind of tells you the mindset, right? It's they just didn't – they did not think it was good to have him here as a model, not because he was a locker room cancer, but as a model and as a lead player for this franchise. And look, the Dallas Stars would not take what he did for them this year for $8 million, okay? They're paying him $2 million.
Yeah.
It's a great thing for them. It works out beautifully.
I think $3 million, but yeah.
Is it $3 million?
I think
okay.
So.
Well, it's a beautiful thing for them. It's a nice gift, and he fits into this way better and deeper team than Nashville has, and he can just sort of do what he does, and it's not a huge issue if he doesn't lead and play at a star level, which he did here for one season. So quibbling with the money and all that, I think that's fine, but you have to understand the mindset of Barry Trotz. That quote should be very clear to people. Imagine like the discussions behind closed doors if he said that at a press conference.
Couple things on this. Number one, I think he deserves a lot of credit for the way that he played this year. And I think the fact that he was bought out and the way that all went down last summer was a big part of why he played the way he played. Now, I said at the time, I think he signed in the perfect spot. Like, Dallas has a very deep forward group. I mean, they're good everywhere, which is why they're in the conference final and were my preseason pick to win the Stanley Cup. Like, they're a really good team. So I thought it was a perfect decision by him in terms of where to go. He doesn't have to be the lead guy. He can be kind of a supplementary role player scorer there, which is what he's done. And he's done it really well. And I said this earlier in the show. Like, he has said most of the right things in terms of how he's handled the situation publicly. But I can tell you, based on some people I've talked to, there are some hard feelings there between Matt Duchene and Barry Trotz.
I would hope so.
I mean, he was very upset by it. And I think in some ways still is very upset by it. So you would have to imagine for a guy that, even though maybe he's not a Ryan O'Reilly and maybe he's not a Ryan McDonagh in terms of like the way he approaches the game, I mean, you're talking about a first-round pick that has to be some level of driven to have gotten to where he's gotten to in his life. So I think this has clearly been a chip on the shoulder, motivational type of season for Duchene, and that's great. The other part of this is, like, I also think like Barry Trotz has made it clear the type of people that he's looking for to build a team. And I'm with you. Like, I don't think Matt Duchene was some unliked figure in the locker room. Matter of fact, I think he's still got a lot of really good friends on the team. I don't think that Matt Duchene was some locker room cancer. But, look, there is a difference between, like, the way Ryan O'Reilly approaches the game, the way that Ryan McDonagh kind of approaches the game, and that of Matt Duchene. And it doesn't mean Matt Duchene's a bad guy. It doesn't mean that Matt Duchene can't win at some point in his career. I mean, he's doing it right now. But clearly, Barry Trotz placed a premium this past offseason on establishing that new sort of culture. And you can agree with that. You can disagree with it in terms of how important it is. That debate is worth having. But, I mean, it's clear with just the numbers, right? Like, the Predators are not saving a ton the next 2 years in terms of the money. But that's how much they wanted to get him out of there and to bring some new leadership in towards the top of that room. Like, next year, the buyout number, the cap hit for the Predators is $5.5 million on the $8 million contract. So you're saving $2.5 million next year against the cap. The year after that, it's $6.5 million. You're saving $1.5 million. So you're really not saving all that much money in terms of buying him out. That just kind of goes to show you what Barry Trotz was willing to do to get him out of there. And you can agree with that or disagree with it, but that's what it is.
Yeah. So I think the people who are arguing for it, going with he was a cancer, that's not true. But now we have Neil on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says serial winner Matt Duchene, stick it to Trotz. I don't know that I would call him that either. There's a middle ground, right?
Yes.
He has not done a ton of winning in his career. Granted, he was like the only good player for Colorado for like three
years,
a long
time,
right?
Yep.
So he's kind of been in some bad situations, but obviously he came to Nashville after the Dallas series in 2019. Clearly that David Poile, I mean, I think he had been after Duchene forever, finally got it done. It did not work out nearly as
first
they
two
hoped.
Years were a disaster.
Yeah, he had 19 goals in his first 100 games as a Predator.
Yeah.
That's not what they paid for at all. Had a great season in 21-22.
Yeah.
But he's serial winner is not what I would apply to him. Again, I still kind of freaked out by serial anything that's like it's a good thing, you know. Like serial killer means that you go by a certain, like, is it, that means like you go by a certain
type.
Well, but or like a certain pattern of stuff as you find your victims and kill them.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do when you win.
I like serial winner. Do
you? You go through the same process.
Okay. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
It's like your winning process?
Yeah.
Like hiding in the park at 3 a.m. and every Thursday? Yeah. But anyway.
Takes commitment to becoming great.
That's right. I enjoy Matt Duchene. I like him. We had him on the show every week.
We did.
I enjoyed talking to Matt Duchene. You know, so there were times when with him he'd be a little
too rosy?
Yeah, a little. I remember like when they lost to Colorado, actually, and he's like, yeah, that, you know, we're just like that young Colorado team from a couple years ago. Like, nah, I don't think
you really.
You just got destroyed by them, and there's really no reason to think that this team's going to become that team. But okay.
Other than that.
Yeah. But he's not – yeah, look, I think David Poyle pursued him, got him. It was very disappointing. I think David Poyle, by the end, was very soured on him.
I agree. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Steve. Steve, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Really enjoy the show.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, Matt is not – he didn't play at the level with us that he's playing with Dallas. I don't know if it's because they've got more weapons than we do, but he's playing at a different level, and I wish he had played at this level. We wouldn't let him go, but there again – before we let him go, he and Forsberg were battling it out for, you know, who's going to have the most goals. So I don't know. He was up and down, wasn't consistent. And I can think of two other players that we let go that have really excelled since then. Seth Smith, who Seth Smith plays for the Blackhawks, and then
Seth Jones,
Sam Girard was a defenseman with us, and now he's really excel for the Avalanche, and I'll hang up. Listen, what you've got to say.
Yep, thanks.
Thank you.
Speaking of Kyle Turris,
those are two. Which, by the way, I mean in the Kyle Turris part of this, so they're paying Duchene the next 5 years. I mentioned those first two numbers. After the next 2 years, it goes to $1.5 million per year, which is, I mean, it's not that big a deal. They're still paying Kyle Turris 4 more years, $2 million.
Kyle Turris is the Preds Bobby Bonilla.
It's going to be 15 years.
Kyle Turris Day.
Hey, it's Kyle Turris. He's still getting paid.
Oh, man.
The Seth Jones, Sam Girard situation is a little bit different than Duchene, right? I mean, they're both really, really young. And there's the other thing. Like, Duchene had a good year, right? But I think you also have to view it in the context of what he's getting paid. Like, he had a for the Stars, he's getting paid $3 million, put up 65 points, 25 goals.
It's great. Love it.
They'll take that every day of the week. Again, for the Predators, 65 points, 25 goals, you would take it, but it's still, I don't know that it's worth the $8 million that you were paying, right?
No.
So it's a different situation, too.
And by the way, he's not having a great postseason. He did have the winning goal to beat Colorado. Hey, I mean, you can't argue with that, and that's why we're talking about this
correct
right now. But he actually has not had
a
great
postseason.
He's got
two goals in the
playoffs. Yeah. But in his role, it's a great situation for them. That's what you want to find in this league.
They're really good.
Especially, I mean, the Stars seriously should probably send Barry Trotz at least a meat and cheese basket or something.
It worked out great for
them. The retirement quote, right? Greg and Brentwood said, Duchene's my least favorite Pred ever. Total lax, bro. Great move by Trotzy. Uh-huh. Look, Duchene, and when he wasn't producing, it was really bad. But you know, a lot of the complaints are like, yeah, some of the hard parts of the game, not his favorite.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Matt Duchene part of this. We have some results from Rex Road's Predators fan poll at The Athletic, too, that we're going to get to as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I'm still getting over Greg and Brentwood's comment, Duchene, least favorite Pred ever. That's a statement. Least favorite Pred of all time.
That is. Least favorite. You don't often see somebody's least favorite remember, a team has, like, the single-season goals record. It doesn't anymore because Forsberg beat it. But you know what I mean? That's wow.
Philip Forsberg erased Matt Duchene from the record books.
That's right.
Where do you guys think Matt Duchene ranks among free agent signings for the Predators in their entire history?
In terms of just living up to the contract or worst contracts or
yeah, I think that's a fair way to go about it. I would say maybe in terms of his contract value, yeah.
I would put him They got more out of Matt Duchene than they got out of Kyle Turris. I'll put you that way. Like they're still
That's a trade, though.
Right, but they still signed him to an extension after that, after the trade. So
that's the thing. I can't think of that many big free agent, you know, massive signings. Who are the biggest free agent signings?
They've got him. They signed Paul Kariya, which worked out really well for them for 2 years. I mean, there's not a ton of big free agent signings that they've had.
Yeah.
My point being with James,
I'd rank it in the top five.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like how many of these people are actually, now that I'm going through it, there are a lot of trades.
Right.
God, they've made a lot of trades.
Yeah, the trades, Johansson, Subban, those are good debates. Forsberg.
They signed Nick Bonino.
There you go. Nick Bonino, they get some. I mean, look, I think that Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist are good signings.
Works out pretty well.
As Andrew Robinson points out on X, you know, the Preds turned Duchene savings into Nyquist. You know, his 75 points, attitude, flexibility, worth way more than keeping Duchene. Also, Forsberg doesn't push 100 points with Duchene on his line. So, those were actually good signings this last year. Very effective.
Joe, we have results at theathletic.com to the Nashville Predators Nashville Predators fan poll. You did not poll the players this time around. Maybe in the future.
I did poll some players for our anonymous player poll this year.
Ooh.
Even got some answers on most overrated player, but I can't tell you who said what.
Because it was anonymous. The fan poll results are in. What did we learn at theathletic.com as it relates to the Nashville Predators fans and how they're feeling about this current state of the franchise?
Well, first of all, I think the big takeaways, I compared this, you know, to, oh, by the way, Vingan sent me the Colorado radio thing, and gosh darn it, I still haven't listened to it. We got to get to that. Maybe we can play it tomorrow if it's as good as it might be about Duchene. But I compared this to 2022, right, which is an obvious thing. So the big picture questions about the franchise, and Vingan, of course, at the time, was at The Athletic and ran these surveys every year. Didn't do one last year. Well, they didn't make the playoffs. I don't know, whatever. I didn't do it. Sorry. Yeah. So 2 years ago, though. Let's talk about just general optimism, okay? So the five categories, cautiously optimistic. No, highly optimistic, cautiously optimistic, somewhat pessimistic, highly pessimistic, or apathetic.
Yeah.
Okay? Between cautiously is 73%, highly 17%. So more than 90% are the top two levels of optimism about the Preds, about the state of the Preds, which frankly surprises me because it was a good season and they have a new GM and they have a new coach. But the state of the Predators still to me is like, how do they maneuver to get where the whole point
competing
is?
For change.
So, I mean, frankly, that was a little bit higher level of optimism than I would have guessed. 2 years ago, okay? So I just said that those two were 90%, but the cautious optimistic, 73%. 2 years ago, 78.2% of Preds fans were either skeptical, frustrated, or pessimistic.
That's a big change in 2 years.
Right. And apathy even was at like 9%, and there's like basically like none now, you know? So that's a big, big shift. And again, we have to remember, like I just said, we have two new people in the key jobs. Also remember that they did have the sell-off last year, right? So, but it still leaves me kind of a little bit surprised. Huge confidence in Trotz and Brunette, which, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think with both of them, their first cracks at their jobs, they did really well, right? I think the state of the Preds, though, to me is, yes, Trotz, good first off season and all that, but the state of the Preds is still, and it's a lot of it is conditions he didn't create, but it's how do you get out of this, basically? And that's where to me, it's a little bit surprising. As I said earlier, you know, Saros, 57.3, move him.
Yep.
You surprised by that?
No. I thought it would be close to 50-50. I guess it's a little higher than I thought it would be. But, I mean, basically, the reaction that I've gotten on just from the people that I see and deal with on social media, it's about right down the middle. Like, it's about 50-50 in terms of people wanting to move him or wanting to keep him. So I'm not overly surprised by that. Were you?
No, I think that's about what I would have guessed. I probably would have guessed about 55-60%
yeah.
in favor of moving him, which I think is the right move. But I think, I mean, frankly, I think sentiment sometimes plays into that.
For sure.
So I figured it would be higher than probably should be in terms of keep him.
How much of the optimism stuff do you think boils down to the fact that they made a coaching change and a GM change last year? That's got to be most of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. So it's kind of like optimism, like you like who's doing the jobs right now. Again, Burnett had a terrific – that's why he's up for the Jack Adams. I think Trotz could be discussed as in the GM of the year.
Yep.
Again, with being able to do what he did, although it's interesting now, people are like, gosh, he did like Matt Duchene. Look at Matt Duchene. Yeah. But good signings, effective. Again, it's still the question of, okay, so how do you take it to the next level? So I also had questions about, like, prospects and things like that. Now, here's another one, okay, that I want to go from 2 years ago to now.
Okay.
Would you support a full-scale rebuild if it meant drafting number one at least once? 2 years ago, when Vingan did this, 62% yes.
Okay.
38% no.
All right.
What would you guess now?
My guess now is it would be 85% no, 15% yes.
It's basically an exact flip flop. It's 62.5% no, 37.5% yes.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying at this point. You know, it's kind of like, okay, it's not happening, right?
Right.
So, other than figuring out goaltender, how would you like Trotz and Burnett to approach the offseason? You know, two options, which is one, build on this season, get veterans because Josi and Forsberg aren't getting younger. Or two, leave more room for young players, step back and no playoffs next season is fine. Okay, those are your two options.
Yeah.
What would be your guess on that?
My initial reaction to that is probably close to 50-50. I'd lean towards build on this season at 57%. That's my guess.
63.6 go with that.
Okay.
That's pretty high. That's pretty high, like, in terms of – some of these results conflict a little bit. You know what I mean? But that's kind of high. If you are no way on the full-scale rebuild, but you're also seek the splash edition, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those both won, and those don't go together.
Right.
But people – want them to go get people who can make you good and try to push forward with this team. And I think that's probably what they're going to do.
And also, wouldn't that make you want to sign the goaltender, right?
Right.
You think.
And that's probably the biggest conflict is, so wait a minute. So you want to, again, I don't know who voted for what, so more people want to, like, push forward, go now, but also more people want to move the goalie.
Yeah. Those two things don't add up to me.
Askarov, you ready to be a star in the NHL?
You ready to go?
Is Askarov going to play anymore for the Admirals?
I got a game tonight? Apparently there's a freaking week and a half gap between game one and game two in the AHL playoffs. It seems like it's been forever since they played.
But, and that is tonight?
I believe it's tonight.
Okay. Well, he better play if he's going to be the starting goalie for a playoff team next year in the NHL.
615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Preds coming up next. A lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Monday morning. We are taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Keiser's question on the free agent signings and the history of this franchise has got people fired up.
Yeah, you got a battle going on in the text line. My goodness.
Peter Forsberg was not a free agent signing, folks. He was a trade, though.
Yes. So we're distinguishing between free agents and trades.
I love that question.
One thing we've discovered, a lot of trades in this franchise. Not very many Big time free agent signings.
By the way, he did concede and said not enough coffee.
Yeah.
I can relate.
We can all relate.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Even you love coffee now.
I do. Big coffee guy here.
See, someone says Ryan Suter is the all-time F that guy list, but like I said, yes, because of how he left.
Right.
But that's different. Everybody was mad at him when he left, but you loved him when he was here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little different.
So who did you hate when they were here? Like, I can't stand watching this guy play. I think Duchesne, the funny thing is, that's the
Turris is probably a contender.
Yeah. Well, and Johansson.
Yeah.
And Duchesne and Johansson together, and of course the contracts was a big part of that because everybody was talking about that. But at times they just had stretches where both of them were just like at least frustrating. Maybe not, you know.
From a trade, Andre Kostitsyn did not like that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Keezer.
Played out poorly in Scottsdale. Him and Radulov were not a good combination together. There's no doubt about that.
Wild. Wild and crazy guys.
Wild and crazy guys out there. I mean, we had Alex Doherty on earlier. I'm interested to see beyond the Soros stuff because it feels like the Soros stuff has consumed like the Predators offseason discussion, and I get it. Like, I understand why. But beyond that, like, I am very interested to see what Barry Trotz does in terms of adding to the group. Is it a making room for young guys type of offseason? Is it a looking out and being aggressive in free agency and maybe being aggressive via trade even beyond the UC Soros front? Like, the Natchez thing, I think, is interesting. Something in Carolina is going to have to change. Could you throw your name into the hat for a big-time free agent, whether that's a Stamkos if he gets there or a Reinhart if he gets there? Like, the approach and what Barry Trotz tries to do this offseason is going to be interesting. Like, clearly last year, he tried to move heaven and earth to get into the top four of the NHL draft. I doubt he does that this year. Like, it's just not the same quality of draft as it was a year ago. So what is the priority for Barry Trotz this offseason beyond all the goaltending stuff that we've talked about?
And if you're him, and I'm sure this is like most offseasons, you have to have some either or. Like, okay, let's pursue this trade. What does this mean for this person? Alex Doherty, who we had on the show earlier, has a good piece about UFAs, the six UFAs, and the kind of the likelihood of each, you know, being back or not. But, you know, some of those decisions could be affected by other moves that may or may not happen, right?
Yep.
But it feels like some kind of – I feel like there's a trade of some substance coming. Some kind of decent-sized trade. There will at least be discussed.
I think that would be – like the perfect scenario. Like, I agree for those who, like, obviously they need to add, if they want to compete soon, they have to add to this group. Like, they've got to add to it. In a perfect world, if you were going to add to the group, it would be via trade because theoretically then you get somebody in here who's 24, 25, 26 and not 28, 29, 30 and going from there, right? Or in Stamkos's case, you know, 34.
33, 34.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, they still, whether it's via trade or some of their own guys, probably a combination of the two, you have to turn over the roster and let it get a little bit younger as you move forward here. And you can do that via trade. It's harder to do because when you have good players, very rarely do they become available via trade. But there'll probably be a couple opportunities where you could do that this offseason if you wanted to, if you're the Predators.
Right. And we talked about Natchez earlier.
Yeah, he's intriguing.
But I think he'll be intriguing for other teams too.
I agree.
So, but yeah,
and again with
25.
Him, like, I like him a lot. But is he a game changer? That's the other part. Like, I think he's good. Is he a game changer? Like, would a new change of scenery, playing in a higher role for him, be really, really good? He's been a 70-point player before. That was 2 years ago. 53 points this past year. Is he a game changing guy? Like, to me, if I'm acquiring one of these young guys, you need to be convinced that they can be a game-changing guy. Unless he's really, really cheap. Then you just go do it.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, but it's like you want depth and you want a lot more good players and players with ability to score than you have.
Sure.
You know, it's hard to get the true game-changer. But if you pay someone like him, you're going to pay him pretty close to that he is.
Yeah, exactly. 615-737-1025. Our phone number will have you covered throughout the day here today on 102.5 The Game. Jason Big Joe's coming up next. You're listening to 102.5-106.3 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.